On this morning's lesson from Luke, we come across one of the most beloved images from Scripture, the mustard seed. This wonderful, potent package of hope and encouragement has inspired the faithful throughout the ages. It's a symbol of possibility. It's a symbol of great things that can be done. But it can also be a source of frustration and disappointment. For consider, when we hear about faith like a mustard seed and we envision all of the amazing things that can be done, it is possible, just possible, some of us might think, I don't have that kind of faith. My faith wavers. My faith is filled with questions. I'm not quite sure. Now, if your faith is rock solid, if it has always been rock solid, if you can guarantee to me it will always be rock solid, that you will have no questions for God, no quarrels with God, no moments when you might lie awake in the dark of the night asking what is going on, then I invite you to spend the next few minutes dozing off or checking your email, writing extra checks to the church. But everybody else, I invite you to listen carefully, because this passage from Luke is for you. And it's for me. We have heard so many stories throughout the ages about the faithful and the wonderful things they do. We hear about the fathers and the mothers of the church, the martyrs, people who were willing to lay down their lives for the gospel. And we think, I could not do that. I don't have that kind of faith. But then we can reassure ourselves by saying God doesn't ask everybody to be a martyr. God's not calling on everybody to be fed to the lions, burned at the stake, flayed alive, any of the one of many horrible ways Christians have been forced to die for sticking to their beliefs over the years. And we feel a moment of calm. But then maybe we look around the sanctuary and we see someone in the pew ahead of us or behind us or to our right or left, and we think, well, he or she has an amazing prayer life. That person is always there to deliver pastoral care. That person is always engaged in fellowship or serving people. That person is a model of faith. I don't have that kind of faith. I'm a fraud. I'm a failure. Why should I even try? Fear not. For it is perfectly human for us to engage in activities and often look to others who are doing the same and compare ourselves unfavorably. I'm never going to save as much money as my friend. I'm never going to be as fast in a road race. I'm never going to lose all that weight. I can't hope to do as well on the test. I can't hope to have that kind of faith. And then we think, oh, if only I had a better savings plan, or training regimen, or diet, If only I had all the answers to the questions on the test, I'd be set. That mindset is what is driving the apostles in this chapter of Luke. For in the verses immediately preceding today's reading, Jesus has told them, don't be a stumbling block to others. Be careful. And if someone has sinned against you and asked for forgiveness, grant it. And do you remember how the apostles respond? Lord, give us more faith. That's their way of saying, we don't know that we can do this. We need help. But if you give us the tools, we'll get the job done. But there's a problem with this premise. Faith is not like an investment plan or an exercise regimen or a diet or a course of study. It's not something that we can set up and design and call into being. It's not something we create. Faith ultimately originates with God, with the one who has created the universe, who is greater and more wonderful than our imaginations. Now, this isn't to say that we should then assume those people who have rock-solid faith have been given more by God than those whose faith wavers. No, faith varies from individual to individual, and indeed, within the individual's life, it will vary. It will wax and it will wane. But God is the creator of all, and faith is a response. Faith is a manifestation of a relationship with God. And it's not always a happy, smiley relationship. Just this morning, Barb asked me about the passage from Lamentations. Boy, we could not have ordered better weather to go with that reading from the Old Testament. Did you listen carefully to those words? Hell. That's what's being described there. Hell on earth. Everything had fallen apart. There was no hope. And yet the author of Lamentations felt able to offer up those words of despair and pain to God. And those who pulled together what we call the Old Testament included these words in Scripture. Think about that. The witness of the faithful to the presence of God in the world includes doubt and pain and anger and confusion. Oh, yes, it would be wonderful to be able to offer praise like Mary in the Magnificat. Lord, you've turned my world upside down, but it's okay. It's a blessing. This is great. This is wonderful. But Scripture is filled with people in addition to Mary. Think of Abraham. Travels from Mesopotamia to the promised land. And what does he find? Doesn't find any heirs. Keeps waiting for him. Asks God, where are they? How about Moses? Who wonders about this errand that God is sending him on. Job, whose entire life collapses and rages at God. Jonah, finds himself sulking beneath a tree because God won't destroy the Ninevites. How about the son of Mary, Jesus? Remember Jesus on the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus, the very Son of God, gives voice to our pain, our fear, our loneliness, our disorientation, our alienation. And all of this is included in Scripture because what God wants from us, what God wants with us, is an honest relationship where all is open, where we don't hide, where we speak up. One of the challenges I have each week as I put together a sermon is to come up with a title. So, I'm preaching on mustard seeds. And I'm not going to claim there was any great feat of imagination to start thinking about a title that might have had some kind of agricultural hook. I started to think about planting things and growing things. And the phrase "gone to seed" came to mind. Is there anything more melancholy than a garden that has gone to seed? I do not claim to be a gardener. I can become compulsive when it comes to pulling weeds. But I know there are people here who love to spend time out in their beds tending the flowers and plants and vegetables, who invest love and time and make beautiful things happen. In fact, many people here have gone on garden tours and have seen these wonderful created landscapes and have reveled in the beauty of it. But sometimes a garden goes to seed, and we look at a place that had once been cultivated, had been the object of affection and energy, and where there have been carefully balanced colors and heights and varieties, there are weeds and vines run rampant. Depressing. But, and there is a but, a garden gone to seed can be brought back. Oh, it might require a lot of hard work. And it may look very different when all is over. But it can be rejuvenated. It can be restored. And something new can happen. This can happen with faith. Our faith can go to seed. It can be frustrating, heartbreaking actually, to have something and then to lose it. To have faith and then to have it wane and ebb. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. You're being punished by God. It's part of the human experience. Things happen in life. As many of you know, when I was 13, my father died. that began a 12-year hiatus of faith for me. God was patient. God was waiting. And at the right time, I was ready to re-engage. And my walk with God has been different since than it was before. Not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I've had questions. I've had moments of doubt. I've had times when I have messed up. But God has always been there, true to that relationship. And so, this day I invite you to leave this sanctuary thinking about the mustard seed. Forget about the mulberry tree that people with great faith could carry out to the sea. That's not the point. Because the truth is, we can't do that. Not alone, at least. God would need to make that happen. No, focus on that mustard seed, which is all about the future. The future each of us has with God. We don't know if this mustard seed is ever planted, and if so, whether it takes root and grows. We don't know what the tree might look like. All we know is that each of us has a future with God. And if we trust in God and trust that God keeps faith with us, then anything is possible.